Woody Allen has made 40 films, and until just a few years ago, they were mostly set in New York City. But then he made 4 films abroad, in London, and as I'm sure you're aware, in Barcelona. Now the filmmaker who's most identified with New York has returned to his city with a new comedy called Whatever Works, a disquisition on quantum physics, love, and chance. The movie, which stars Larry David, Evan Rachel Wood, and Patricia Clarkson, opens today at Cinema 1, 2, 3. Also the Lincoln Plaza and the Angelica, and I'm pleased that it has brought Patricia Clarkson back to the show along with Evan Rachel Wood. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello, Leonard.
this is Woody's first full-blown comedy in years, although it's being called a kind of a blackish comedy. Do you think that it's because this is from an older script? This is a script that he supposedly worked on 30 years ago? Did he talk about that with either of you?
Yes, I knew that it was an older script. I didn't know how old.
He was supposed to do it for Zero Mostel.
Yes, he wrote it for Zero, yes. And then I think it was Juliet Taylor who said, you know, he took it out of the drawer. He was telling that story today.
Yeah, he said he never would have done it if there wasn't going to be a possible strike. And
right.
He said, I would film all my movies in New York, but I just can't afford it on such a little budget. It's so expensive to make films in New York and L.A. now.
Right. But in terms of the script, pulling it out of the drawer and rethinking.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he did do considerable rewrites because the political climate has changed, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, this is
a very contemporary story.
But he did say, like, the philosophical, the existential quandaries and, you know, have not changed. And they will never change.
And I'm sure some of the jokes
Probably are still, still intact from the 70s.
There are people who feel that he kind of re-energized when he went to Europe, did Matchpoint, and then those other films. And Patricia, you were in Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you feel a difference?
Well, I had not worked with him in New York the first time I, you know,
now
met.
You seem to be part of his repertory company.
Oh, I hope. A girl can hope. I don't know that he was that. I didn't know I'd never worked with Woody till Barcelona. He's still the same director, no matter the locale. I mean, he is still the same. Woody is Woody. I think he is. I think he came out of the womb and, So it was slightly different in Barcelona, but being back on the streets of New York was gorgeous.
Yeah. Not all of Woody Allen's 40 movies have been critical or box office successes, and yet every actor who's worth his or her salt seems to want to work with him. Why is that? Evan, was he different than other directors you worked with?
Absolutely. I don't know. I've never worked with somebody that just knows actors that well. And his pieces are about the characters and about their relationships and about the dialogue and the scenes. And, you know, that he doesn't like to do many setups. He likes it all in kind of very wide shots in one
perfect
take.
Perfect pieces.
Yeah. And
he gets that master, in a perfect master.
Yes.
You cannot screw up. He will get it in one big piece.
So almost like theater.
Yes.
Yeah, almost like theater.
You
and
have
I mean,
to prepare
and,
like
and if
theater.
You go back and look at, you know, the old black and white comedies, you know, Katharine Hepburn, Spencer Tracy, that's how they're shot. And it's amazing to watch. Mm-hmm. You really appreciate the caliber of those actors when you see it like that.
And you get a feeling of a different kind of pacing because in so many films today, you get even a half a line and you're cut to something
and
they're
else. Truncated. And the sad thing is I think it also has set off a generation of lazy actors. I mean, we get lazy. It's very easy to get lazy as actors in film.
It was interesting the other day. I was talking forgive the name dropping, Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, goodness.
And he said that he thinks Woody Allen is our greatest film director. No, I mean, that's a guy who knows something about movie making.
Yes. He's an incredible storyteller. I mean,
And he just knows. He knows what works. And it's not whatever works. He knows exactly what works, and he knows he makes actors look good. He always has. And that, you know, as an actor is, you know, I'm forever indebted to him. You know, it's a beautiful experience, but you have to be prepared.
Yeah, it's very humbling.
It's humbling.
Well, Evan, you usually play young women who are quite advanced for their age, but not this time.
No.
How would you describe Melody St. Anne Celestine, the character that you play?
You know, some people would describe her as dumb, but I don't think she's dumb because she's very open-minded and like, willing to learn. She's just naive. She's sheltered and she's naive. And but she's as sweet as she can be. She's a classic Southern girl, you know, takes care of everyone, always smiling, always, you know, happy and bubbly. And, you know, she loves taking care of people.
Well, you come from Raleigh, North Carolina. So,
yes, I know those women very well. I face trauma with many people I grew up with.
And what about this giving you a chance to do comedy? You generally are playing troubled, well, now you're past the teen thing, but still troubled young women. And here you play this woman who just is so full of brightness. One person called her a bright-eyed bumpkin.
It was such a nice change of pace. I've been wanting to do a comedy for so long, but since I had mainly just done drama, nobody really gave me a chance. I just assumed that's all I could do. So I'm very grateful that Woody took a chance on me.
And he gave you some of the best lines in the film, especially when you regurgitate the lines that you've gotten from the Larry David character. Sometimes you get them right, sometimes you get them wrong.
It was so hard to do that without laughing. It just was ridiculous. And even harder, though, when Larry is just insulting me right to my face, telling me how stupid I am, and I have to pretend like I don't get it. You know, that was hard.
Well, what happens when you find yourself on the verge of laughing if Woody wants to do these long takes? Does he get really upset?
You get a six-pack from holding it in.
No.
Like, you get abs.
But I actually find it, you know, the irony of you are, you know, in the presence of these two comic geniuses, Larry and Woody, but they are very serious. And I find that great, great comic minds are very serious. And it was really about the work. You show up with Woody, you go to work. Larry had a lot of lines. And, you know,
more lines than he ever has had to memorize in his life. You
know, no, he had to learn Hamlet as a novice. I mean, and so it was, you know, it was not a serious set, but it wasn't filled.
It was very focused.
It was very focused.
Because I wonder what Zero Mostel would have done with this. Because he used to ad-lib like mad and chew up the scenery. You probably would have found it impossible not to laugh.
I don't know. I mean, Larry kept us going,
And he did make me break a couple of times, but I was the only one laughing, so I learned my lesson quickly.
Yeah, no, no.
Well, I hope that doesn't mean that it's back to Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, no. We love Scarlett.
What about the Southern accent? Because the two of you are from the South, but you're not playing, but you're playing people from different parts of the South.
Right.
How subtle are the differences in the Southern accents? In your case, Evan Raleigh, although you lived in Los Angeles for a large part of your life, is a Mississippi accent?
Yeah.
Do you have to get a voice coach to learn how to do a Southern accent?
It's a deeper and Woody wanted a deeper accent. He wanted us to really. He wanted it to. It's a tone thing, and it's an aural thing, and he wanted us to really go for that accent. And he knew that since we had the foundation, since we were Southern girls, that I think he had faith that we could do it and not sound corn pone.
Yeah, as long as our accents matched. Yeah. That's what we cared about.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you're from New Orleans, Patricia, and that's a very specific kind of accent.
Very
specific.
It
sounds a bit like Brooklyn at times.
Well, it parts of New – there are three very distinct accents in New Orleans, and that is one. But there's also a kind of – somewhat mild Southern accent, a long O that is very New Orleanian, and it's a harder sound than a Mississippi sound.
You never say the G at the end of an ING.
Yeah,
it's just the I-N.
You get a lot of laughs, too. This is a bit of a break for you because you've been doing a lot of serious drama.
Oh, my God. Enough with the drama.
No more drama.
Even with Woody because you weren't exactly getting laughs in Vicky Cristine Barcelona.
No. It was a beautiful, great release to play this character, you know. And it's, you know, beautifully crafted. This is beautifully written and the arc in it and the transformations and all of it. But even within that, before she undergoes the transformation, there's great beauty in Marietta as this kind of archetypal Southern character. There's still these great, interesting, unique contradictions within that. woman.
Well, she is a Bible-spouting woman, the mother of Evan's character, who is liberated by New York. I want to get into that in just a moment. But first, my guests are Patricia Clarkson and Evan Rachel Wood, two of the three stars, along with Larry David. And there were some other really wonderful people in the film as well. Woody Allen's latest called Whatever Works, which is opening in theaters around town. The image of New York that Woody Allen presents in this film is of a liberating alternative to the more repressive parts of the country, especially the South. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's true? You've lived here.
Yeah. Well, I had a similar path. I mean, I was a – albeit
you,
I came
You
from,
started living with two men at some point?
Leonard.
Well, in the movie you did.
Maybe. I mean, I have never lived with two men at one time, but the night is young.
and I'm so beautiful.
Wow, this is awkward.
Oh, my goodness.
Just,
I'm kidding.
Just joking.
No, I know.
Kind of.
Oh, one can dream.
Well, you went to Louisiana State University, and then you came here to Fordham.
I had a very similar path as Marriott, although
I don't think of Fordham as a place where
I didn't grow up as a Bible spouting. I grew up in a progressive household, but I was an old-fashioned Southern girl, and I came to New York. I was only 19, not a middle-aged woman, but I came to 19, and I found myself. Yes, I came here to pursue my art, like Marietta. That is something that happens to her, and serendipitously, that she turns out to be this, I think, remarkable artist. But she never would have found that part of herself if she had stayed back home. I don't think I stayed in New Orleans. I wanted to be an actress from the time I was 14.
But New Orleans is a special situation in the South.
And it's a different – and New Orleans is a very liberated city, and it's a beautifully artistic city. So – but it is different. It is – New York is – you've undergone a kind of transformation living in – being –
Oh, yeah,
a
absolutely.
New York girl.
Wait. You went to Los Angeles. How old were you when you went to Los Angeles?
I was 9.
But Los Angeles New York are not all that different.
No. Yeah, and I moved to New York for a year when I turned 18, and it just – I never knew that the world could be like that, or that much fun, or that creative, or, just everywhere I went, there was some amazing thing happening. There was some amazing music playing, or some amazing, art exhibit. It was wonderful.
New York doesn't disappoint.
Great food, great art, great theater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
And now I understand that you want Evan to appear on Broadway in the new Spider-Man. Is that going to happen?
Yes.
I can't wait.
Should open in February.
Have you done much theater?
I started in theater and in musical theater. And I actually just finished doing Romeo and Juliet in the first theater I ever acted in as a fundraiser. I'm just so excited. It's my dream. I grew up wanting to be on Broadway and listening to Broadway musicals and seeing plays. And so it's a dream come true.
And you'll have to do singing.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't sing in 13, I remember.
No, I sang in Across the Universe, though, live.
Uh-huh. Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
So, Beatles songs.
Was that something you also had wanted to do? Did you just discover that you could sing when you did Across the Universe?
No. I'd been singing for as long as I'd been acting. It's kind of my first love, actually.
Well, so many actors start in theater and then find themselves sidetracked because film and television take over their lives. That's happened to you too, to some degree, Patricia.
Yes, but no singing. No.
Do you miss theater at all?
Of course, and I have many angry people in New York at me that I haven't done a play in a while, and I would like to. I have a couple of plays I'm mulling about right now, and I think within the next year. I will be doing a play.
Well, we've seen a real change in New York theater in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are saying it's the greatest year in theater since the 50s or 60s because there's just been so many amazing productions, all on limited runs, and many of them with people who are more famous from films, although they all had theater backgrounds.
Right, yeah.
And maybe the changed economy is allowing people to go back and forth in a way that they couldn't in the past.
Or the economy, you know, necessitates people actually doing, you know, theater. I don't know which came, you know, because, but I, for whatever reason, I think it has made, you know, Broadway benefits when, you know, great actors come back and do plays. And if they are stars, it's a, you know, a great thing. It's great for the economy. It gets the play done often. And so, you know, I you know, seeing Jeffrey Rush, I recently saw Exit the King.
Stunning. All three of them. Susan Sarandon was great. And who knew that she could be so good in theater? And Lauren Ambrose is going to be a superstar.
Lauren Ambrose was stunning. And Andrea Martin, who is always brilliant. So it was just a first-class night in the theater.
Do you ever worry, Evan, about having started so young? Because some people have come out of that experience okay, but many, then in years later, talk about how they lost their childhood.
Well, you know, I learned very quickly that there are many, many sacrifices you have to make if you're going to do this. But that's why I always told myself, don't be an actor if you want to. Be an actor if you have to. Like, I just can't imagine doing anything else.
Well, you grew up in an acting family.
Yeah. I mean, it's in my blood.
But I have to tell you, when we were shooting the movie, I sometimes had to remind myself that you were just a 20-year-old girl.
Yeah.
You know, because you have, you know, gravitas way beyond your years. And I had to, but yet, you know, that's what was so beautiful about you is, you know, you kind of are a mixture of this woman and child all at once, and, you know, it was stunning.
Aww.
Stunning.
They often talk about chemistry in love matches in films. How much chemistry was there between you and Larry David?
We had so much fun, you know. I mean, and the great thing about the relationship is it's not really a romantic one. It's just more, they're kind of the only ones each other has, and they're so different that it's never boring.
Yeah.
So they just take care of each other, and it just made
but
me.
But we, Larry,
laugh.
Larry is so dreamy. We really love
he
Larry
really
so
is,
much. We adore him.
Because it doesn't
we
matter what comes out of his mouth.
I know.
It's funny,
and he's so different
Very
than
charming.
These characters he's played. I mean, he really is, actually.
Well, Whatever Happened stars Larry David, also has Ed Begley Jr., Conleth Hill, it has Michael McKean. And it has the two people I've been talking with, Evan Rachel Wood and Patricia Clarkson, doing wonderfully as women who come to New York and find their true selves. And the film is opening in a number of theaters around town, the Cinema 1, 2, and 3, the Lincoln Plaza, and the Angelica. It's been a great pleasure talking to
you
both of you.
Thank you so much.